Hallelujah. Well, welcome to our first hands-on teaching tonight. We have decided that it's good to hear the Word, but it's even better if you can learn to apply it. And so we've decided to take about probably half of this year, probably about the next 6 months, and teach hands-on training of many different topics. And tonight's topic is on the power of meditation. What we've discovered, and what the Word declares, is that meditation is the key step to go from realizing God has something for you and genuinely having faith in it that you can manifest it in your life. In fact, turn to Psalm 1. And so what we're going to teach for a little bit, and then we're going to attempt to put into practice what we're teaching. Some nights we may bring out tables and chairs and work at tables. Other nights we're going to do it like we are right now and just teach from the pulpit and then talk about applying it as we go. A lot of it we're just going to let the Holy Spirit direct us as we go into the teaching. Psalm 1 says, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." Now that would be the Word of God. "And in his law, in his word, doth he meditate, I'll get it out in a second, day and night." Now listen, you can't just meditate day and night coming to church. In other words, we're not having church around the clock. Meditation is what you do after you leave the church. Amen. And it says, "And he, the one that meditates the word day and night, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now here it says, "The one that meditates day and night, he shall not dry up. He'll bring forth his fruit, his responsibility, what he's called to manifest, and whatever he puts his hand to is going to produce, is going to prosper." And he says, it's through meditation. Now, some have this mindset, well, if I'll meditate the Word and I'll just keep God in my mind, then God will bless me because I've kept God in my mind. And really, that's not true. You can think about God around the clock. But if you don't know how to use and release faith, it doesn't mean God will bless you. There are monks, there are priests that have dedicated their life to thinking about God. Nuns that live in a realm of, you know, always surrounded by things of, you would say things of God, but things of religion. And are not manifesting a single iota of the blessing of God or the power of God. Yet they're surrounded by things that should have them meditating on the things of God. Meditating on things of God does not produce the results of the kingdom. Faith produces results. In fact, let me just draw this up here as a quick point of teaching. We live in this natural world, this natural created first heaven realm, right? The realm of science, the realm of man's strength and ability, the man of natural fit laws of physics. We live here in the first heaven. God's out here in what Paul called the third heaven. Out here is infinite capacity. Out here is the power of God, the love of God, the peace and joy of God, God's healing power, God's prospering power, it's all available in that kingdom. But there's a second heaven. And the second heaven is the realm of the soul, the realm of thought, the realm of emotion. And we've discovered if anything's going to come from the third heaven into our first heaven situation to bless us, it's got to pass through the second heaven. Now, we're doing a very quick study on this, a very quick teaching. And we've discovered that you can't just use willpower and bring these resources into your life. You can't even beg and plead and cry with God to see God bless your life. The only thing, according to Scripture, that will bring God's power and blessing into your life is faith. Jesus said, if you have faith and you will speak what you believe, you can command a mountain to be thrown in the sea and it'll obey you. Now, Jesus said that, right? So he said, by faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you. So the only bridge we have that can cross this barrier between the two is faith. And faith actually is believing what God said, speaking what God said, and watching supernatural power release from the third heaven to the first to see the impossible manifest. And of course, we've seen so much happening here by faith, right? Watch God move time and time again supernaturally by faith. And so, meditation, as we were talking about this morning, meditation is the step that takes your revelation, what you believe God wants you to have, and brings it down into your heart where you know you can speak and you're going to see it come to pass. This morning we were talking with regard to healing. We understand from what we learned this morning, God wants us healed. Right? Does anybody have a question that God wants you healed? If you question that, then it's going to be very hard for you to use your faith to get healed. But if you study the Scriptures, you'll find out that God said, I wish above all things. He said this to John. I wish above everything that you'd be prosperous and healthy. God wants us healed, and He wants us to prosper. Amen. He doesn't want you in lack, having to beg for food, live out on the streets, live in a box. He wants to take care of all of our needs according to His riches and glory, right? And so, we have to realize God wants us healed. Then you've got to realize God wants you personally healed. But it's not enough just to know that God's the healer and He wants to heal you. You've got to have faith in it. Your thoughts are just a realization of what God wants for you. But faith, once you've meditated word, it goes from your head down into your heart and you know that it belongs to you. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Is anybody here tonight born again? Does anybody here believe that they are going to heaven? What if I came and told you that it wasn't God's will for you to go to heaven? What would you say? I mean, how many, if I came and said, hey, you're born again, but God doesn't want you to go to heaven, how many would say, that isn't God? Why? Well, it wouldn't be true? How do you know it wouldn't be true? Because of the Word. So here's what I'm getting at. You've heard over and over again all of your Christian walk that if you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will be saved. And you've thought about it. The devil's challenged it. Are you really saved? You go, yes, I'm saved. The Word says it. And you go to the Word and you look up the verses. You say, the Word says it. I have it. I've confessed Him. I've received Him. And the Word says, I am saved. Now, how many beside me fought that fight? Every single one of you did. Because the devil's not going to let you receive a promise of salvation without challenging it. But you spend enough time hearing the Word, going to churches that proclaim salvation, listen to Billy Graham, whatever you had to do, and you realize, I am saved. Right? So you have faith in that because you heard it and heard it and heard it. Romans chapter 10, look at that. Romans chapter 10 is our salvation chapter. Toward the beginning of the chapter was verse 9 and 10. It says, if you will believe in your heart and confess Jesus as Savior, you will be saved, right? Confess Him as Lord. I'm paraphrasing. So it says, if you will believe, if you'll have faith in what Jesus did at the cross, you will be saved. Do you believe that? Why? You heard it over and over again. Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How many have heard that verse before? Well, even We've even had religion tamper with that verse and twist it, where we think, oh yeah, faith cometh by hearing. In other words, I heard it, I've got it. It doesn't say faith cometh by hearing. It says faith cometh by hearing and hearing. By the Word of God. The commas weren't in the original text. The translators put that in. In other words, through repeated hearing, which equates to meditation, we develop faith. So meditation is the step where you bring in a word of God, a promise of God, and you roll it over and over again in your thinking. And a supernatural process takes place where all of a sudden, now I know that it belongs to me. Now you have faith. You have faith in your salvation. Now, if you've been following God, you know, consistently and, you know, not backsliding, let me ask, how many here believe they've spent the last 5 years and they haven't backslid at all? Should be hands going up all over the place. Have you backslid? You've been in here for 5 years. You didn't backslid. It's not a trick question. How many in the last 8 years, after you were saved, were running to bars, sleeping around, and whatever, you know? So you've been consistent. How many days during that 5 years were you unsaved? None. There's what I'm getting to. Why? Your faith kept you in that state of salvation. You behave. How many believe God wants you healed? Everybody, for the most part. Has anybody been sick in the last 5 years? Most of the people here. Wait, you say you believe you were healed, but yet you got sick. Now, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Follow my example. We have heard that we were saved since the time we were little by believing in Jesus over and over again. And once you got saved, you worked that word into you. You looked up the verses. You spoke them over your life. I am saved. And went to the altar 12 times like I did to make sure. Did it take? I mean, if you were like me. Just to make sure. But you built your faith up in salvation. But we haven't heard the word on healing at the same level. We've not gone into scriptures. I'm saying we, as if I have, but a lot haven't. Haven't gone into scriptures and looked over and over. Yes, the word says I'm healed. Confessed it. I know I'm healed. Argue with the devil. I'm healed. You had to argue with the devil over salvation. Do you think you wouldn't have to argue over healing? Kind of getting into next Sunday's message, aren't I? The point is the reason you believe you're saved, but yet you're seeing still symptoms manifest is because we've not yet done the meditation work to produce genuine faith in the healing promises of God at the same level we did salvation. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been sick. I've not been sick in the last 5 years. Haven't had the flu in now 26 years. Why? Because when I heard about healing in 1987, I heard the message of healing. Pastor Callan was teaching it. I heard him. And he was talking about how God wants us healed of everything, all the time, every time. And through faith, we can be healed. I said, I don't know if I believe that. I mean, I'd been in church where they told me God made me sick to teach me a lesson. So I had to make sure, is this true? Because if it's true, I want it. But I didn't just receive it at face value. Just because he said it, I didn't believe it. So I went home, and I've still got the notebook somewhere. And I wrote down by hand, longhand. Before we had the computers printing out all the verses, at least before I had a program that did it, I wrote down by hand every verse in Scripture that dealt with healing. Healed, healeth, healing. Wrote them down by hand. Pages and pages of handwritten verses. And then for, I would say, probably weeks, every day I was reading those verses. Putting together, this says this, this is this. Jesus said this. And after however long it was, I came to the conclusion what he was telling me, Pastor Campbell was telling me, was true. God wants me healed. But I didn't stop there, because he taught us about meditating the scriptures. And I took a handful of those verses and I started speaking them over my life every day and through the day. And I would think about them. God wants me healed. He wants me healed. By his stripes, I was healed. It's finished. And as I did that over time, and then I would resist symptoms, my faith grew to the level, I don't believe I ever have to be sick another day of my life. So when symptoms come, I can say, no, that doesn't belong to me. Why? I took the same amount of effort to build faith and healing as I did in salvation, if not more. And meditation is the step that faith cometh by. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. I refer to it as the two hearings. First, you hear it in your head when you get the original revelation. Then you meditate and you hear it in your heart where you know it belongs to you. But meditation is that step that bridges the two. Are you with me on this? So if you really want to advance in anything spiritually, in the gifts, in healing, in financial blessing, in the love of God, whatever promise, the only thing that connects us to it is faith. And you can meditate the promises of God to build that in your life. We have on the back table back there, not the back, but the middle table, a whole set of confession cards. Not for your entertainment. Not just to read and say, oh, that's a good thought. But they're to carry with you to speak over your life. And whatever promise you need God to manifest in your life, you can grab one of those cards if it applies and take that and pick a few of the verses and just keep speaking them and thinking about them and rolling them over in your mind until faith is developed and you can speak forth and you know that you have it. Do you follow me on this? So tonight is meditation training night. Now, I want to go through a little bit more teaching on this. And talk about some aspects of meditation. I want to give you two sets of steps regarding meditation to build the Word into your life. Because it's one thing for me to say to meditate, it's another thing to know how. Right? And I'm going to talk about how I do it. I'm going to talk about how other teachings out there say to meditate. And if you'll take some notes and apply it, I believe you can activate this in your life. And need to. Especially if things aren't going like you want them to go. God can't lie. His promises are yes and amen. So if His promises aren't manifesting in our life, there's not a breakdown with God, there's a breakdown with us. We're not doing something according to the Word. God is highly predictable, repeatable, and dependable. And if we'll do things God's ways, we'll get God's results. We said it this morning, one of the biggest challenges the church has is a false mindset that God is some intangible God just doing what He wants to when He wants to. He's already declared in His Word what He will do and how we will do it. And if we'll learn His ways, we can get His results. Amen. And again, so many. I'm trying to go on, but I've got to stay here for just a minute. So many people. I mean, there are churches all over pray for people that are sick but see little results. We see very high percentage of healing results. In fact, Tom, you've been keeping some of the testimonies, haven't you? I want to have you some night just go through some of those testimonies. 120 of our healing testimonies that you have put down in here. Did you get Mary's lungs? You weren't here, were you? Mary came up a week ago, last Sunday night, wasn't it? Came up for prayer last Sunday night for her son. Or was it Sunday morning? Thursday came up for prayer for her son because he's going through some rehab stuff. And God healed her lungs. She'd had trouble with her lung for some time. Went back to her seat, totally healed. All pain gone. So you can add that to the list. But the point is so many people that want to get prayed for, or even in other churches or in prayer lines, they're trying to beg God to heal them. Oh, God, please heal me. Oh, I hurt so bad. Please have mercy on me, oh, God. Oh, if you hurt like this, I would heal you if I were God. And they try to make deals with God. Oh, God, if you'll heal me, I'll go clean the church and I'll give this money. And what? Well, there's no scripture in the Bible that says that's how God moves. No scripture says God moves by begging, by pleading, by deals. He moves by faith. And if you study Jesus' teachings where people stepped into that healing power, if somebody stepped into a great miracle and their faith did it, he would say, great is your faith. He would commend them on their faith. If somebody couldn't receive anything, he'd say, you're of little faith. Weak faith. Right? Even Peter, when he walked on the water, he says, you're of up and down. You said you're of little faith, but little means short bursts of. You're of up and down faith. You couldn't sustain it. God's raising up people in the end times of great faith. And so begging doesn't move God. Speaking His word with knowledge that belongs to you because you have an inheritance from Him is what God moves on. Pastor Aaron said this a year or so ago, and it stuck in me. He said, apparently God puts great, now if I can remember the word, great importance on us believing what He said in the Bible. And if you'll believe it and say it, He'll move on it. Because He wrote it down and says, here's what belongs to you. Now, receive it. Amen. So let me take you through these steps of meditation. One, if you want to meditate, you've got to focus on what God has said. So what I recommend is you take a verse of Scripture, a promise of God that you need in your life, and you lock your mind on it. I know I'm not the only one in here, but I know when I tried to read the Scriptures, I first got to spend some time getting all the distractions out of my mind. I call it clutter. All the clutter trying to come in. Oh, hey, have you eaten yet? You know, do you need to go clean the garage? You know, there's dust bunnies under the couch. What are you going to do about that? And every distraction comes up that can not. We don't have any dust bunnies. Patty takes care of it, but I mean, should there be any? Although she doesn't dust on top of the refrigerator very good because she can't see that high. It doesn't matter, but I see it. She's laughing still, so I'm okay right now. She starts scowling, I know I'm in trouble. Every distraction there is will rise up and try to say, you don't even know what you just read. How many read an entire chapter like I have and couldn't remember a single thing you read? That's the result of clutter. You read it, you may even read it out loud and you didn't process a bit of it. So to meditate, the first thing you've got to do is lock your mind on it to the point you cancel everything else out. And see, a lot of times you just can't meditate Scripture while you're doing your household chores. I recommend trying it. Speak the word the whole time, but you may need to get some time that you can just spend time focused on what God has promised. Amen. I'll let us meditate on the way to work. Well, either your mind's going to be on traffic or it's going to be on the word. Sometimes when you're meditating the word, you just need your mind to disconnect from natural awareness and just be focused on what God has said. And then the next thing, personalize. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Next step, meditate to understand. Take the verse you're reading and put it in context. What is God actually saying in this verse? What is He declaring? What's the word actually declaring to you? What promises God got for you? So that you recognize this is a word of God in context that I can get a hold of. And then personalize it. When the Bible says, by His stripes ye were healed, that becomes, I was healed. Right? When it says, everything He puts His hand to will prosper, it becomes, everything I put my hand to will prosper. And you can build your faith to the point you believe nothing you do can possibly fail because God has your back. By meditation. So you make it your verse. First, you make sure you're focused. Then you recognize what's this verse actually saying. Read it where you comprehend and understand what it's declaring unto you. What's this verse promising? And then you say, now it belongs to me. This you can write these steps down. This is what it takes to meditate. Versus just kind of a carefree, you know, if I get time, I'll kind of confess the verse during the day. There's more to it than that. Amen? This is the living Word of God. The Bible says it's God-breathed. Word and promise from the throne of God itself. And we should be able to embrace this Word, wrap our arms around it, and say, I'm claiming this for my life, and I want every bit of it manifested. And then treat this like it's a book of gold. Amen. In fact, Scripture says that this book is worth more than rubies and gold. It is. I'd rather have the Bible than any amount of treasure in the world. And I know the Bible will bring me what I need anyway, right? And so treat it like the treasure that it is. This is God's Word to me. Wrap your mind around it like you were wrapping your arms around, you know, your loved one. And then, thank God for what He's given you. Thank God, because thankfulness is a step of faith that you believe it belongs to you. Thank God for the promise that He's given to you. Amen. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I'm thanking that you've given me promise of healing. I receive this. Just declare it unto Him. Pray it in place. And then be determined to apply it. Say, God, what you're showing me, I'm going to do in my life. I'm going to act on it. So when you're believing God for healing, you've got to be willing to step out on that healing, in faith for that healing, whatever God directs you to do. Amen. And then as well, get the Holy Spirit involved. Pray and ask the Spirit of God to reveal the verse to you, to build your faith in it, and I recommend praying in tongues. As you're meditating that Scripture, pray in tongues. Because you're praying the perfect will of God. It accelerates God's ability to build your faith in that. Amen? I have discovered, and many of you know this, that when you spend time praying in tongues, and some of you may, some of you not, but when you spend time praying in tongues, as you spend enough time, you start to step out of the natural realm into the Spirit. Your mind actually starts to transfer awareness from awareness of natural things to spiritual things. Friday night at all-night prayer, the glory cloud was moving in. And some people see the glory cloud. I don't see the cloud. I just notice I can't see natural things as well. Like even right now, the anointing's on me. And as I look out, I can see things, but I'm not aware of it like I normally be. I can see the chairs and the wall. But it's almost like I have to really focus to notice what's going on, because you get to a place where you're aware of the spirit realm almost as much as you are the natural. So tongues, as you do it for an extended amount of times, we used to say 25 minutes seemed like we would step over, maybe a half an hour. Any more on Friday nights, it's about 10 minutes. Because we've oiled those skids to move in, Rizzo skids. And so we go in fairly quickly. Other times may not go in deep at all, but often we do, to the place where you're so aware of the presence of God and the will of God and the moving of the Spirit that you start to disconnect from desire, especially desire, but even awareness of the natural. When you move deep into the presence of God, you don't care about anything but being with God. Because His love so comes on you, nothing matters but being with Him. Now, for some people, that sounds strange and wild, but I'm telling you, it is the truth. And those that have experienced it know exactly what I'm speaking about. Well, when you want to meditate Scripture, here's another thing. When you get in the deep presence of God and you open the Bible, it's alive. If you can read the pages, unless you get so deep you can't really read, but you get deep in the presence of God, you read it, and then all of a sudden it's like God's speaking straight into you. And He is. Well, when you pray in tongues combined with meditation, it greases those skills to understand what you're meditating in a much more accelerated level. The Bible says when we pray in tongues, we pray mysteries unto God. Right? 1 Corinthians 14. Well, God's not mocked, whatever we sow, we reap. So when you pray mysteries unto God in His perfect will, what happens when you open the Word, it comes back as revelation knowledge to you. I revelate a lot out of the Word. I don't open the Bible, I don't get some kind of revelation that God's not speaking to me something, almost without exception. But I speak in tongues all the time. So when I open the book, the work's already done for God to bring revelation of the mysteries I've already prayed into me as revelation, right? Well, how much is that also true when you want to meditate Scripture? If you pray in tongues combined with your meditation, is it going to come alive for you? Do I need to drop that pen again like I did this morning? See, these things of the Spirit shouldn't be just kind of haphazardly done. Well, I got a few minutes. I think I'll read a verse. Well, praise God. But you really need to also get some time. You just spend it with God. And you make it important, like an appointment with God. Amen. Like, you know, that job interview for the job you really want. Treat it like that. And then be prepared by praying in the Spirit so when you go in, God can just do a download in your life. So be charged up spiritually. Now I want to give you 5 steps to accelerate your faith development through revelation. First of all, the word meditation in the Hebrew, and you read Psalm 119, Psalm 119 repeatedly talks about meditating Scripture, meditating the Word. I will ponder, I will muse on your Word day and night. The word in the Hebrew is the word hega. Oh, I pronounce it. It's H-A-G-A-H. It looks like it's pronounced daga. How about that one? And it means to moan, growl, utter, speak, and muse, or to ponder. To meditate the Word means you ponder the Word. Now, the first thing we want to do, as you start your meditation, you want to read the verse. Read it. Read it several times. Look for key phrases and words. Focus on how you want it to apply to you. And what I tend to do, and I call it juicing the Word. In fact, Pastor Elizabeth Smithers, the first one I heard use this term, that you can juice the Word. Now, what does that mean? Have anybody here ever do any juicing? Juicing fruits or vegetables? You can take the juicer and you put the fruit in the juicer, and what comes out is basically the valuable part of that fruit, the juice. What's left behind is the pulp, and I'm sure there's value in that as well, but you've got the nourishment of that in that juice, right? The vitamins, everything else you need. Well, you can juice the Word. You can spend time basically focusing on the point you're pulling everything out of it that you can. So when I read a verse or a phrase that says, "By His stripes I was healed," I start to personalize it and speak each word one at a time and meditating that one word. How does that apply to this promise? In other words, by His stripes, say that phrase. By His stripes, to the stripes, and I'll stop and I'll say, by the stripes Jesus took, He paid for my healing. And I'll even visualize Jesus on the cross taking those stripes and recognize the horrible punishment He took on my behalf so I could have healing myself. And then I'm sure thoughts will go through my mind. And if He took that horrible punishment for me, it would be improper for me not to receive that healing power. Because to receive sickness when you've got a promise of healing is to take for granted those stripes that He paid that you could have fullness of health. Amen. By His stripes, I'll stop on His. He paid it, not me. He paid it. And if Jesus paid it, it's paid in full, so it's mine. And the stripes he took, and I'll meditate that. And then I'll say, by his stripes, I was healed. It's done. It's finished. And then I'll go to heal, and I may spend time on each verse of that promise. And I may go over it over and over again and focus on different words each time. Maybe read the verse, everything you put your hand to will prosper. And I'll maybe pick a word and I'll read the verse over and over again, focusing or highlighting that word in my mind. Both saying it out loud and focusing on it in my mind. What am I doing? I'm juicing that verse, getting everything out of it that I can. You know, we've had a few kinds of juicers, and I remember the old style juicers. Remember the original juicers where you take the orange and you mash it on the thing, you try to mash every bit of juice out? How many don't never get it all? But now we have the centrifuge juicers. You know, and it slings every bit of moisture out of it so that what you're done, what's left, is almost like sawdust. It pulls so much moisture out. That's what we want to do with the promises. We want to spin it over and over again in our mind that every bit of revelation and understanding comes out. And as we're doing that, it's like the cow chewing his cud. Remember the cow this morning? Shall we say that again? It says in James chapter 1, to receive with meekness the engrafted word. I like the word engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Through meditating the word becomes engrafted to us. Another definition of meditate means to think about as a cow chews its cud. Now, how many have experience with cows chewing their cud? I was raised on a farm. Amen? So I'm very familiar with cows chewing their cud. They would go out in the field, they'd chew the grass, you bring them into the dairy barn, and they'd still be chewing. Maybe they quit for a while, but then they're chewing again. And what happened is the cow was able to eat grass, chew on it some, swallow it, but it's not swallowed to the final compartment of its stomach. It's held to later be brought back forth and chewed on again to break it down further. So the cow may chew that ball of cud, pre-chewed grass, over and over again until finally it swallows it to the final compartment of its stomach and then it's passed through the digestive system to become cow. So what used to be grass becomes grade A, number one, beef. Amen. Future hamburger. Prime rib, whatever else. To me, that's almost a miracle. It used to be green grass, but now it's cow. But it went through the cow's chewing system to make the transition. And God says that same process takes place in us. When we chew on the word, we bring it back up out of our understanding. We bring it back, we read off the card, and we think about it over and over again, and all of a sudden, what used to be a promise of God becomes a promise within us. And we know that it belongs to us. Just like you know you were saved, you can know that you're healed. And whatever else promise God has for you, as you spend time chewing that. So again, I like to say, John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh. Jesus was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, right? We're flesh being made Word as we meditate the promises of God. Jesus was flesh, He was Word that became to earth as flesh, but now through His coming, we are flesh that through meditating the Word can become Word. Praise you, Jesus. Meditating of the Word is what actually transforms you into the image of Christ Jesus. Just like the cow chewing grass turns grass into cow, you meditating the Word turns you into Jesus. Not that you'll be Jesus, but you'll be walking in His image and in His power and in His promises. Amen. So the first thing you do is spend time reading the verse over and over again. And then the second step in meditation. The second step. Write it. Remember I told you I wrote down every verse of Scripture on healing? I believe God's done something within our human thinking. When we write something down, we have it at a higher level. I mean, there's something I will never, I wrote it down so many times. I read it so many times when I was young, I will never lose it. Amen. I will not speak in class. I will not speak in class. I will do my homework. I will do them. There's a bunch of them I was writing for a while there. Remember one time I had to write sentences. I thought maybe I could. I thought they don't really read them. So I tried to skip some numbers. So I went from like 51 to 67, you know, and she caught it. I didn't get away with it. I think I had to add extra sentences to it after that. Amen. I'll just make those up. Oh, I missed those. I guess I lost count. Amen. Something about writing something down, it sticks with you. That's why, you know, I recommend you listen to what I'm saying, but it's also helpful to take notes, even, you know, when you're in church, because it helps to seal it in you. And you not only have it for later, but it helps to cement that in your thinking. You've written it down. So write the verse down. Write it down. In fact, it's recommended when you write it down, don't look at it word by word and write it. Read a phrase, put your Bible to the side and remember it and write it down out of memory. You know, a phrase or two, whatever you can remember. Then go back and get the next phrase. What you're committing it to being in your memory banks as you do that. Amen. And so the process of writing down scriptures, I believe, is a valuable step, not necessary, but a valuable step in meditation to cement that verse within you. Amen. Then say it. Say it out loud. Say it loud enough for you to hear it yourself. Because God is as it designed. Listen to me on this. Faith comes with a hearing, and hearing by the word. Right? Faith is built by hearing the word. Not just reading it, by hearing it. And the number one person you believe in your life is you. You believe you more than you believe anybody else on earth. Say it. Because you saying it, you're now not just saying it, and you're forcing your mind to focus on it and meditate on it, but now you're hearing it again as well. So it's producing double results. And because you said it, you believe you, now it starts to really infuse within you that you know that it belongs to you. So again, read it, juice it as you read it, write it, and say it. What are you doing? You're meditating Scripture. And understand, faith comes by hearing and hearing, but it's not just two times. It's hearing till you have it. And it could take some effort to build faith in some of the promises of God. I mean, I don't know how many hours I've meditated God's healing power. I would say certainly more than 40 hours just getting started on it. Well, not 40 hours straight, but you follow me, over the time meditating and saying it. But you know what I found out? 26 years with no flu has been worth it. No more migraines for 25 years? Whoa, that's worth it. Amen. Man, migraines would put me down for a day. I'd have run everybody out of the house. But when I found out I was healed, and I stepped forcibly by faith in the healing power of God to get over migraines, it was worth it. Then when I blew my back out and I couldn't even breathe without excruciating pain, and I worked my faith for healing on my back, and God gave me a brand new back. Over 15 years ago, I can lift anything now. It was worth it. So that those, let's just call it 40 hours of investment, have paid off for 25 years. Sometimes we think, well, I just don't have time. It's not worth it. I don't need it right now. Well, you're going to need it eventually. And God's promises pay dividends. Read it, write it, say it. And then, if you're so inclined, sing it. Do you know the Psalms originally? They're songs. It's what it means. They were to music. And it's an amazing thing God has done that He has wired our brains in such a fashion when we hear a tune, we remember it. And whatever words went with that tune, you remember those. See, if I could sing, I'd try to do this right now. But follow me on this. Da 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 da. Do you may know what that is? Wow, I hit one. I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener. How many remember that? Why, it's to a tune. In fact, you can remember theme songs and jingles going way back because it was put to music. How about this one? A horse is a horse, of course, and no one can speak to a horse, of course, unless, of course, a talking horse is the famous mystery. People yakety-yak the streets and waste their time of day, but Mr. Ed will never speak unless he has something to say. Go right to this horse and ask the horse. He'll give you an answer that you'll endorse. How do you remember that? It's to a tune. I was watching it in the 1950s. And remember the tune, remember the words, we'd sing it. And you can hear a song you haven't heard in 30 years if you're old enough. And start singing it. Why? Because God's wired your brain to remember words and music in combination. So if you would just set your own tune to some of the psalms, some of the promises, it will lock within you. One of my favorite set of CDs I have are by an individual called Ian White from Scotland, who set all of the Psalms, at least most of them, to music. And I've been listening to those for over 30 years. I guess about that, right? In that time frame. 30 years of listening to him set the Psalms to music. And so what happens, I'd sing it. What I'm doing, I'm confessing word. So I learned a lot of the promises of God just out of the music and then found them in the Psalms. I mean, I knew I was singing a song, but you know, later I realized that's in the Word. So one I sang for years is, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house. And I would sing it. That's why she's so perfect now. Faith. You don't know what a terror she used to be. No, she's always been sweet. I would sing those psalms. Well, make up your own tune and sing the promise. So understand, you don't have to remember every verse in Scripture about healing. Pick two of them. By His stripes I was healed. Just sing it to yourself. And it'll stick in you. It'll help you keep that in your mind. And it'll become, Rebecca calls them earworms. Did you ever have a tune that stuck in your mind and you couldn't get rid of it? Did you know they were called earworms? I didn't know that until Pastor Rebecca told me. Earworms, you can't get rid of. What if the earworm was Scripture? And it can be. Make up your own album, your own CD. Make your own CD of your own promises. Set to your own tune, whatever you got to do. And watch it start to merge within your soul. And then number five, pray it. This is supposed to be hands-on night, right? We are teaching some hands-on stuff. But pray it. Now declare it to God. God, I believe this is mine. God, I decree this. I speak this over my life. And from that point on, you can meditate, but in the midst of meditating, keep praying it. Keep saying it. I still every day say, by His stripes I was healed. Every day. Most days I say my wife is a fruitful vine within my house and my children as branches about my table. And I declare that I'm rooted and grounded in love and able to comprehend with all saints what's the width, breadth, depth, height, and the love of God which passes knowledge. Ephesians 3. I want that. So I bring it to mind to cause myself to meditate it, but also I'm praying it unto God and releasing my faith in it. So these steps all work together to transition you from hoping and praying to believing you receive. Amen? And once you believe you receive, we'll talk about this next week on Sunday morning. Once you believe you receive, then you know what you declare forth you will have by the supernatural power of God. Have you followed this tonight? Are you ready to practice it? What time is it? Oh, we're just getting started. Just kidding. This is going to be probably homework. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 3. Because this is a verse that we've declared for this church. And I just wrote a book. Have you heard about that? We want the love of God in our life. And I want you to start at verse 14. And I want you to spend some time meditating verse 14 through 21. In fact, you may just take one or two verses out of it and say, I want to work that in right now. But I don't want to read through it in a meditative fashion. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to humble myself before God to receive this promise. I'm going to position myself to receive and listen to what God has said unto me. Of whom the whole family in the heaven and earth is named. I'm part of that family. That He would grant me, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Holy Spirit in my inner man. God's going to do this within me. You see, you're personalizing it. You're connecting it, making it relevant, putting it in context. That Christ, the Anointed One and His anointing, may dwell in my heart by faith. By faith, God's moving in my life. That I, being rooted and grounded in love, I'm solidified in the love of God. My life is connected to it. My sustenance comes out of that love. I'm as connected to the love of God as a tree is connected to the soil. Amen. May be able to comprehend, I'll have understanding and revelation of what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, God's going to give me revelation beyond normal understanding. That I might be filled with the fullness of God. How many want to be filled with His fullness? You can confess this over your life. Now unto Him, God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think in a continuous fashion. Because that's what the verb tense is. According to the power, the dunamis power that worketh in me, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now what I want you to spend a few minutes and just go through that as if you would meditate it. And we'll give you just a few minutes and we're going to take some questions. Pray in the Spirit if you want to. Just don't disturb the next people to you, but go through it. Are you done yet? In fact, let me change the assignment. Maybe there's a verse that's more relevant to you that you're after, that you really want. Go to that verse. I just picked one out. Go pick your own. You can default to mine if you don't have one. Hallelujah. Is anybody noticing anything out of that? I mean, do you see the difference between just reading and juicing? And how that's going to, if you spend some time doing that? See, we sometimes are in error. We think, I got to read the whole Bible. I got to know the whole Bible. Well, it's important to read the whole Bible. I'm always reading through the whole Bible. I'm probably using it in a couple places at once, reading the Old Testament and the New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. But there comes a time you don't need the whole Bible, and you need a few verses. You can know the whole Bible, but you need faith in a few for key things. And this is how that faith is developed. And if you do this, I guarantee you, you will see results when you do this. Because God's not mocked, whatever we sow, we reap, right? Are any questions? I don't want to keep you all night. We could do this. I spent a little more time teaching tonight than I thought I would. Are there any questions? Exactly. That's good. Uh-huh. Right. I like that way that's phrased. Yes. She says it makes her an active participant in the Word. And I believe that's key. That's really what you're doing. Is it becomes your promise. And it really, through meditation, becomes part of you. It rewires your mind to know that it belongs to you. Thank you. Anything else? Anybody else? Comments, thoughts, questions? It does become a part of you, that's right. It becomes engrafted. Have you enjoyed this tonight? Amen. Well, sometimes we're going to bring you up and demonstrate. Other times we're going to have you practice. Each night's going to be different. And we'll go from there. Amen. Father, I thank you that you seal us within. You call us to be those that apply these truths in our life. We thank you for it. We give you praise in Jesus' name.